I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, things are heating up. After all, it is officially summer in some places. So Ana Mateo will join us to discuss the phrase, in the hot seat. Be sure to listen to my conversation with Ana after Words and Their Stories. While you are listening, think of the last time you were in the hot seat. Then, Kelly Jean Kelly joins us with the next episode in our series on America's presidents. Last week, we finished Abraham Lincoln. This week, it's Andrew Johnson. Johnson is known as the first U.S. president to be impeached by the House of Representatives. But first, here is my story on the U.S. Department of Education's concerns about the results of an important math and reading test. The U.S. Department of Education expressed concern about long-term learning loss among teenagers who missed class time during the COVID-19 pandemic when schools closed. The department released the scores from a national math and reading test given to 13-year-olds on June 21st. 8,700 students took the test in both math and reading in late 2022. The results showed a drop of 9 points in math and 4 points in reading compared to 2020, the last year the test was administered. The department's information shows that those are the largest point decreases between tests recorded since 1973. The test asks students to read short passages and identify the main idea or some facts. In math, students need to do simple multiplication and geometry. Peggy G. Carr is the commissioner of the National Center for Education Statistics, part of the Department of Education. In a news release, she said, the scores show that there are still worrisome signs about student achievement 2 years after most returned to in-person school. Carr said she was hoping to see green shoots of academic recovery, but did not. Green shoots is a term officials use to describe signs of improvement. The results of a similar test given to younger students came out in 2022. They also showed learning problems connected to missed class time for fourth and eighth graders. Education officials said test scores were falling in the 10 years before the pandemic. However, they were mostly higher than the lows of 20 to 30 years ago. The latest test scores show that American 13-year-old students are back to their lowest level in math since 1990 and lowest reading level since 2004. An international reading test given to younger students in 2021, suggested some learning loss. However, the Progress in International Reading Literacy Study showed that most students reached basic reading standards. The test results showed that of the countries taking part, more than one-third of test takers reached high standards on average. The test, which is administered every 5 years, was given in 57 countries, mainly in Europe and the Middle East. There was a big difference in results between some countries. In the U.S., officials say time away from school during the pandemic continues to affect students who were already having problems. Those students scored 12 to 14 points lower than others in their group in 2020. Stronger students also saw lower scores, but their scores dropped only 6 to 8 points. Minority students struggled the most. The lowest scores came from American Indians, whose scores dropped by 20 points. Black students' scores were lower by 13 points. White students saw losses of 6 points, and Asian students remained almost the same. The scores of all groups decreased. Denise Fort is president of a nonprofit group, the Education Trust, based in Washington, D.C. She said the test shows the deep effect of the pandemic on Black, Latino, and poor students. She said all students want to do well, attend college, and get a job. But they can't if they continue to lose ground, she said. The learning problems of the pandemic continue in the U.S., although the federal government has spent billions of dollars to help students catch up. Schools received money to offer extra help, hold classes in the summer, and start other programs. But Carr said the nation's 13-year-olds, who were just 10 when the pandemic started, are still having trouble. "We need to keep at it," she said. "It is a long road ahead of us." Miguel Cardona is the U.S. Secretary of Education. He said the national test shows what the government had feared, that it would take years of investment to reverse the damage. But he said several states are making progress on their own reading and math tests and are returning to levels that existed before the pandemic. I'm Dan Friedel.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Have you ever found yourself in a difficult situation? One where you had to explain yourself, where you felt like all eyes were on you, and where others were questioning your actions? If so, you may have been in the hot seat. That is our expression for today. The hot seat is not a nice place to be. To be in the hot seat can be used in several different situations. It can be a situation where you need to defend yourself or share information. If you are questioned by the police or a detective, you are definitely in the hot seat. A difficult job interview or school exam can also make you feel like you're in the hot seat. It can be an unpleasant and uncomfortable situation. If you are in the hot seat, someone may be closely observing your movements and actions. For example, parents often put their children in the hot seat. They may want to know where they go, who they are with, and what they are doing. These questions could feel like an interrogation. As with the earlier police example, an interrogation and being in the hot seat go hand in hand. Teachers and school officials can also put students in the hot seat. If students are accused of doing something like cheating on a test or damaging school property, A teacher might put them in the hot seat to get information. The hot seat can also be a position of uneasiness or embarrassment. For this situation, we have another saying. If you put someone on the spot, you have also put them in the hot seat. For example, let's say my best friend is married to a man who isn't very honest. When I see Mr. Dishonest at a restaurant holding hands with another woman, I could put him in the hot seat by asking, "So, what's going on here?" If you are in the hot seat, you may be faced with severe criticism or judgment. At work, you may find yourself in the hot seat if you fail to finish a project on time. Here's another example. Let's say Alice is in charge of the company's yearly party. It is a big deal for employees and their families. But she told everyone the wrong date. So when no one showed up, she found herself in the hot seat with her boss. Here are some notes on usage. In this idiom, we use the definite article the and not the indefinite article a. So we don't say someone was in a hot seat. Now let's talk about the preposition in. Some online dictionaries give examples of this idiom using the preposition on, to be on the hot seat. I commonly hear in the hot seat and not on the hot seat. Both are correct, but in the hot seat sounds more natural. The usage of this idiom goes back to the early 1900s. Some word experts say that it may have come from the use of electric chairs for executions. Other experts say the idiom may come from the card game poker. In poker, players in the hot seat are under the most pressure to bet or play their cards. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
Thank you, Anna. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Broadcast. We are joined now by Ana Mateo. Ana, this week's episode reminds me that it is officially summer in some parts of the world.
You're right, to a degree, Dan. This week's phrase is about heat, but when we say in the hot seat, we are not talking about temperature. We are talking about a difficult or embarrassing situation. It does not mean the seat is actually hot. However, the person in the hot seat might feel a bit warm.
Ah, Anna, that makes sense. When someone is in the hot seat, they probably feel a lot of pressure.
That's right, Dan. Someone in the hot seat is getting a lot of attention, and usually it is not good attention. Dan, when is the last time you found yourself in the hot seat?
Well, Anna, I found myself in the hot seat a couple weeks ago. We were working on a home project, and it turns out I did not order the right materials from the store. People were there with a truck waiting to pick up the wood and metal. And I did not choose all the right pieces. Luckily, we were able to change the order on the fly. And everything worked out okay.
But Dan, that must have made you feel a little uneasy. We use two other more common words when talking about being in the hot seat: uncomfortable and embarrassed.
You're right, it did. But now I'm able to go outside and enjoy my nice new sitting place. Whenever the seat gets hot now, it's only because of the sun. Thanks for teaching us this phrase today, Anna.
Well, enjoy your hot seat this summer, Dan. And you're welcome.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Andrew Johnson. Johnson was vice president under Abraham Lincoln and became president in 1865 after Lincoln was killed. His name sounds like that of an earlier president, Andrew Jackson, and also like a later president, Lyndon Johnson. But Andrew Johnson served in the years just after the Civil War. You can remember Johnson this way. He was the first U.S. president to be impeached. Andrew Johnson grew up in a poor family in the southern state of North Carolina. As a child, Johnson had little formal education. Instead, he trained to be a tailor. When he was a young man, Johnson moved to Tennessee, another southern state. He opened a tailoring business, where he made, repaired, and sold clothing. When he was 18 years old, he married. His wife, Eliza McCardle, was only 16. They went on to have 5 children together. Eliza McCardle Johnson did not come from a wealthy family either, but she was better educated than her husband, and she helped him develop his reading and writing skills. She also supported his gift for public speaking. Johnson's speeches were especially popular with workers in their community. They liked his criticism of the state's wealthy planters. The workers also liked his politics. At the time, Johnson supported measures that permitted slavery to expand across the country. He was clear in his speeches that he did not support equality between whites and African Americans, whether enslaved or free. In time, Johnson held many political offices: mayor, Tennessee's governor, state legislator, and member of the U.S. House of Representatives. When the Civil War began, he was a member of the U.S. Senate. Although he was a Southerner, he did not believe the southern states had a right to withdraw from the Union. When the other southern senators resigned from the U.S. Congress, Johnson stayed. As a result, most southerners considered him a traitor, but most northerners considered him a hero. By 1864, the American Civil War was 3 years old. The conflict was becoming increasingly fierce and bloody. That year, the states that remained in the Union held their presidential election. The president, Abraham Lincoln, wanted to win re-election and continue directing the Union's war effort. But he was not sure that voters in the opposition Democratic Party would support him. So he turned to Andrew Johnson to be his choice for vice president. Johnson was a pro-slavery Democrat. Lincoln was an anti-slavery Republican. In the U.S. tradition, presidential candidates do not usually choose someone from a different party to serve as vice president. But in this case, Lincoln's Republicans did. They called the Lincoln-Johnson partnership the National Union Party. Political leaders hoped Johnson would appeal to Democrats who supported the war effort, to workers, and to small farmers. The plan, along with several military successes for the Union, helped carry the National Union Party to victory. The swearing-in ceremony the following March, however, suggested some of the difficulties ahead. Johnson was sick. To feel better, he had a lot of alcoholic drinks the night before the ceremony. The next morning, he drank some more. When Johnson stood to give his speech, he appeared unsteady. He talked about his poor family and his simple beginnings. Then he spoke angrily about wealthy Southern planters who had withdrawn from the Union. He became increasingly confused. Other people in the crowd wrote later that they felt embarrassed by Johnson's behavior, and some Republicans began calling already for his resignation, or even impeachment. Those critics could not have predicted that in a few weeks, Johnson would be the president. A few very important events happened in the weeks after Lincoln and Johnson were sworn in. In April, Lincoln was shot and killed. Johnson took office as the new president. The following month, the Civil War officially ended. The Confederate States of America was no more. And that December, a majority of states approved the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. That amendment ended slavery across the country. President Johnson, therefore, guided the process of reuniting the North and South and supervised the transition of many African Americans from slavery to freedom. That period in U.S. history is called Reconstruction. Members of Congress from the northern states had been thinking for a long time about how to carry out Reconstruction. The most extreme lawmakers, the radical Republicans, wanted to punish former Confederate officials and extend political and civil rights to African Americans. Johnson had different ideas. In the first months of his presidency, before Congress had met, Johnson pardoned many former Confederate officials. He also let Southerners rebuild their state governments as they wished. Those governments quickly passed laws called Black Codes. Black Codes restricted the freedom and rights of African Americans. They permitted white landowners to control African Americans' labor, much as they had when the workers were slaves. The laws were enforced by all-white police and militia. Radical Republicans in Congress, as well as African Americans, objected strongly to the Black Codes. When Congress finally did meet, Republican lawmakers voted for a measure to help and protect formerly enslaved people. But Johnson vetoed the measure. He said the bill would give the federal government too much power. Johnson's veto was one move in a political war between the president and many Republicans. In time, lawmakers got the upper hand. The Republican Congress soon took control of Reconstruction. Against Johnson's wishes, they succeeded in passing several major pieces of legislation. One was the Civil Rights Act of 1866. It recognized that everyone born in the United States, including African Americans, although not Native Americans, was a citizen. Another was the extension of the Freedmen's Bureau Act, the measure that Johnson had earlier vetoed. For two more years, the federal government was authorized to help people displaced by the Civil War. Finally, lawmakers passed a measure barring the president from dismissing any top officials without the approval of Congress. President Johnson ignored the measure. When he believed the Secretary of War did not treat him respectfully, the president ordered that man's dismissal. In answer, members of the U.S. House of Representatives voted to impeach Johnson. In other words, they charged him with a crime. It was the first time in U.S. history that a president has been impeached. But impeached does not always mean removed from office. The case moves to the Senate. There, senators act as a jury. They decide whether the president is guilty. Two-thirds of the Senate must agree to convict the president. In the case of Andrew Johnson, 54 senators considered his case. For him to be removed from office, 20 would need to find him guilty. But only 19 did. His position was saved by a single vote. Although Johnson survived impeachment, he was not nominated as a candidate for president in the next election. Instead, he returned to his home in Tennessee, then competed for a seat back in Congress. On the third try, he succeeded. Johnson is the first and only, so far, former president to serve as a senator. He did not stay in the position long, however. A few months after returning to Congress, Johnson died suddenly after suffering a stroke. He was 66 years old. Today, historians have mixed feelings about his presidency. Johnson's supporters approve of his limits on the federal government and belief in a firm separation of powers among Congress, the President, and Supreme Court. But most historians believe Johnson's Reconstruction policies were extremely damaging. They did not help reunite the North and South, and they extended the suffering of African Americans and the country's history of racial oppression. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's the Learning English broadcast for today. Thank you, Kelly, for that report. And thanks to our VOA colleagues for their work on today's program.
Most importantly, thank you for listening. For more, visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedell.